Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome along to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Later on in the programme, I'll have an update on the Donegal Women in Business Network's big event to coincide with its 25th anniversary. But my main topic and focus of attention in this edition is the subject of railways and what are the prospects for Donegal regarding a possible rail link into the Island of Ireland network once again. Well, delighted to say I'm joined by Steve Bradley, chair of Into the West, which is a rail lobby group for essentially the western half of the province of Ulster. And Steve, I suppose, first of all, the idea of bringing you onto the programme to enlighten people who may not be familiar with the case that you've been putting forward for more investment in the rail sector, not just improving services, but the provision of new links. And when we look at it from a Donegal perspective, the last of the railways here ending at the end of the 1950s, some survived a couple of stations into the early 60s, but essentially Donegal has been cut off from the rail network. Derry has been somewhat the poor relation in the north. But there are good grounds for some optimism that the tide has changed. And certainly across Europe, there has been a lot of investment in rail. And we have had the All-Ireland Rail Review, which is going to be published shortly. So maybe you can just bring us up to date on where we're at. You would be optimistic about the future.
Thank you, Chris, for the opportunity to inform your listeners about the situation regarding rail. So Derry and two other stations are all that remains in the western and mid part of the province of Ulster in terms of rail. As you mentioned, 1965 was the last time Donegal saw any trains. So you've had two generations of people who've been brought up in Donegal, and rail is only something they see on TV, they see on holiday, or they read about in books. It's this sort of strange alien form of transport. So we're working hard in Into the West to change that. What we do is we try and improve what remains of rail. So we've had some successes in improving rail in Derry, but it's still very much a poor relation in terms of rail. But I guess more important for your listeners is we're also looking to expand what we currently have. So we talk about what's called the gap in the map. I'm sure a lot of your listeners will have seen on social media the map of the island of Ireland with all the railway lines in it. And there's this huge corner in the northwest where there's just a void. And you might think, if you were from another country, you might come and think, well, nobody lives there because it's not important, because there's no rail there. And that's clearly not the case. Letterkenny is one of the fastest growing towns in the Republic. It's considered a gateway town. We know Donegal as a whole has a very important tourism industry. So we want to bring rail back to the county. Realistically, that will start in Letterkenny as the largest population centre and a place that really does have a strong economic and viable argument to make for seeing rail returned, certainly between Derry and Letterkenny. But longer term, we'd hope to see it return as well to other parts of the county as well. As you mentioned, there's the All-Ireland Rail Review is due to be published shortly, and it agrees that there should be rail return to Letterkenny. It doesn't buy into the argument for the rest of Donegal, but you know, let's get it into Letterkenny first, and then we'll all keep making the case to say the rest of Donegal should get rail as well. So there are some reasons to be hopeful that at some point in the future, there is a strong chance that Donegal will see trains returning again.
Now, if Donegal was reconnected and a link into Derry, it opens up, well, initially there would be the prospect you can get to Belfast. Now, Derry to Dublin at the moment, you have to go via Belfast, so it's a fairly long way round, but also one of the things that you've been campaigning for is the reopening of the old line that went from Derry down to Strabane through Omagh and on to Portadown. And should that reopen, well, that opens up the possibility as well for Donegal. You'd have Donegal to Derry and then going down Strabane, Omagh, Portadown, where you meet the main Belfast-Dublin line. So we could be talking about Donegal to Dublin in, what, just over 3 hours by rail, and that would be a real game changer.
It would be phenomenal for the entire Northwest, and particularly for Donegal, which, as we know, is so badly connected. So we talk about the Northwest Rail Corridor, and what that is, we're pitching it in terms of a continuous line where you start in Letterkenny, you come through Derry, down to Strabane-Lifford, and we would stress that Strabane and Lifford are so close, they should really be treated as one station covering both towns. And it would continue on to Omagh, Dungannon to Portadown, from where the trains would either continue up towards Belfast or down to Dublin. It should be feasible for that journey to take, you know, 3 hours or certainly no more than 3.5 hours, which would be very competitive with road for driving there and certainly very competitive with bus. And that would be huge for Donegal because, as we know, Dublin is by far the economic and tourism driver of the island. I often think about people who land into Dublin Airport, Americans, for example, or people who drive on the wrong side of the road for a lot of tourists, and they may not want to hire a car when they get here. And, you know, how are they going to get around this island? They look at the rail map, they see places like Donegal just don't feature. So chances are they will go where the connectivity can take them. So once you have a direct rail route from Donegal all the way down to Dublin and up to Belfast, which is also increasingly important economically and for tourism, I think that's going to be a huge opportunity. And we've seen when rail has been reopened in other areas, like the rural border area of Scotland, every single village forgot its railway line reopened on what's called the border rail route. It saw hotels got more bookings, museums got busier, post offices got busier, because as soon as you tap an area into, you know, that the veins really of transport, you know, surprise, surprise, people will take the opportunity to go to visit somewhere or to set up a business somewhere if it's easier to get in and out of the place. So huge potential, which is part of why we're so keen to see it happen.
And it's also worth pointing out, we hear a lot about regional imbalance, and one of the areas where there is a big deficit is in infrastructure. And as you've mentioned, the rail map of Ireland, you can just see this hole in the northwest. If there was that link there re-established, it does help promote regional growth. It's going to help in terms of industry, tourism. And over the years, there have been various reports, Steve, about reopening or the possibility of re-establishing a link with Donegal going from Letterkenny into Derry. In fact, I remember, I think it was 2003, there was a Booz Allen Hamilton report. It spoke about it then. But in the more recent All-Ireland Rail Review, from what we understand, and it did prioritise things around the country, and it did cost-benefit analysis and a lot of the sums that go on. And Letterkenny to Derry actually came out relatively well, didn't it, compared with other possible reopenings?
Yeah. I mean, firstly, we know that the government in Dublin has what's called Project Ireland 2040. And it's the National Development Plan. And part of what they're trying to do is to take the pressure off Dublin. Dublin is overheating. We know that in terms of everything from congestion through to the absurdly high cost of properties and the fact people can't rent there. So that document set out an objective that 75% of all population growth in the southern state should happen beyond Greater Dublin, not even Dublin City, but beyond Greater Dublin. We would make the very strong argument, you know, that that's a great objective to have, but how are people and jobs going to be located beyond Greater Dublin if connectivity is poor? So that's why, you know, Donegal and the northwest of the island is probably the last untapped region of the island, where we know that Donegal underperforms in terms of salaries. We know that whilst there is a housing crisis right across the state, we know that there's quite a few derelict properties in Donegal. There's still opportunities for more housing in Donegal, and it's certainly cheaper than it is elsewhere. So we would make the argument that, yes, you want to have that better regional balance. You want to have more people living in places like Donegal, but you need to enable them to do that. And investment in infrastructure is a classic way to do that. As you mentioned, Derry Letterkenny was scored about 15 years ago. And back then, it suspiciously fell 1 point short of the threshold that needed to be taken further. And our view at the time was that that was suspiciously short. It was almost like somebody didn't want it to pass. But since then, Letterkenny has grown a lot. Derry has grown. We now talk about the Northwest City region. Derry and Letterkenny are working very closely together on cross-border stuff. So if you did a test tomorrow in terms of economic viability of restoring rail to Letterkenny, I would bet my house it would pass. And we know also that Derry Porter Down, the All Island Rail, if you looked at that project, and it estimated it would have 3 million users a year between Derry Porter Down, that it would become the main way to get between Derry and Belfast, because it would be faster than the current line, which goes around the houses through Coleraine and Ballymena. And therefore, it actually had the greatest potential of all possible reopenings on the island. So if we can get Letterkenny to Derry reopened and connected into Derry Porter Down, that is going to be an absolute, you know, a pipeline for investment and connectivity and you know, whatever superfluous, or so whatever term you want to put behind it. It's going to be such a game changer for the region. One thing within that we stress is the sequencing. We believe Derry and Letterkenny should be connected by rail as soon as possible. We shouldn't wait until Derry Porter Down happens, because that means the Republic would effectively be waiting for the North to get around to doing something. And as we know, that's never a good strategy. But it's relatively low cost to restore Derry Letterkenny. You're talking less than, say, 30 kilometres here. It's not a long distance. EU funding would be possible, because the Donegal is considered a region in transition. And we know that there's large budget surpluses in the south. So what we would say, and we're asking the Shared Island Fund to help contribute to this, what we would say is, you know, let's get on and reopen Derry Letterkenny now, linked into a proposal for reopening Derry Porter Down, but don't wait until there's rail back between Derry and Porter Down, because it will be 20, 25, 30 years from now before that happens. Donegal's waited long enough. If the capacity and funding is there to sort it out, let's get Derry Letterkenny opened much quicker.
In terms of the actual cost, what are we talking about? What's the latest sort of estimate? Is it 300, 400, 500 million?
It would probably be in that realm. Costs have gone up a lot for everything recently. We would have had a good grasp before COVID of how much roughly it costs per mile or per kilometre for rail, but costs have gone up quite a bit since then. But you're probably talking in that scheme. Now, those are sums not to be sniffed at, but also in infrastructure terms, I mean, big infrastructure costs big money, and there's just no way around that. You can't do this stuff on the cheap. You either want the infrastructure, in which case you have to put your hand in your pocket and pay for it, or you say, let's not bother with it at all. We've tried that latter argument in Donegal by leaving it unconnected, and we've seen that carries a cost for the county and also a cost for the state. So the money needs to be made available to ensure that we can connect up Donegal, certainly Letterkenny, but ideally also other parts to rail as well. But we are talking those kind of sums. And again, I would be hopeful that the EU would make a contribution, because 4 years ago, the Northern and Western region was downgraded to being in transition. And that does open up some structural funding, which isn't available to the rest of the state. So we should take advantage of that now, because with any luck, the region will be re-evaluated upwards by the EU. But when that happens, there won't be the funding available, which there potentially is now.
And is it likely that if there was a line from Letterkenny to Derry, that it would use much of the old former track bed and route that was there, or would it be maybe a more direct route in? And then the other thing, just to tag on to that question, when we get into Derry and the River Foyle, would it be a case of having some connection through to the station in Derry, or would there be two standalone stations, or how would you see that all panning out? Because I would take it that going in from Letterkenny to Derry, you want to be able to go in and not have to change stations. You want to be able to get even if you do have to change trains, at least if you're getting into Derry, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, our preference would be to have a single unified station that covers all rail routes in Derry. Back in the days when rail was first set up, Derry had four stations, for example, and they were all physically separated. Those the days when people would have been prepared to carry heavy bags and lug them across in the rain between stations, or, you know, get connecting buses, those days are gone. People aren't going to do that. They'll just jump on their car if they have one, or they'll find another way to make those journeys. So we need a unified sort of central station, for want of a better phrase, for Derry, where all the rail services leave from. So that's very important. In terms of the roots, we tend to stick to the big picture. Into the West, we say you need to reconnect rail between Derry and Letterkenny. Much cleverer people than us will decide where that route should go in terms of topography and populations and everything else. There is the possibility of certainly some of previous routes along the Foyle Valley, the old route which used to go down through Carrigans and everything else, could come into play for reopening a line between Derry and Strabann, and then you could branch off to get into towards Letterkenny at some point on there. But our fear is that as soon as you start specifying a preference for a particular route, you know, you start to lose some people who are really, really insistent that must come through their village or their town. So we just stick to the big picture. It won't be our decision where the route should be. It'll be much cleverer, more qualified people than us. So, you know, let's get rail back between Derry and Letterkenny. It would be great if it could go through population centres like, you know, Manor Cunningham, Newton Cunningham. But again, let's leave that up to the people who know what they're talking about to do this. Our preference would just be that when it does come into Letterkenny, it should be a station as close as possible to the town centre and ideally a joint station for bus and rail. And then, as mentioned at the Derry end, it should be a single unified station for all rail services coming in and out of the city.
There are people who might say this is all a bit pie in the sky, but if we look at the picture across Europe, Europe is very much pro-rail at the moment, and then there's the environmental considerations as well. And in a lot of other EU countries, there has been numerous cases of lines reopening and completely new lines built. And even here, worth pointing out, you know, Derry's the size of Limerick. There's a lot of money being earmarked for Limerick and the development of lines around it. It's three or four lines going into it. Letterkenny is bigger than Sligo. And whilst you can put money into roads, the more you build roads, the more they clog up with cars. It can also be said, well, why shouldn't Donegal have rail?
Absolutely. No other region on the island has the lack of connectivity that the Northwest has. So Donegal doesn't have motorways and it doesn't have rail. No other, you know, comparable regions like Kerry has good infrastructure. Mayo, Galway have good infrastructure. Donegal is the outlier. And people may have been conditioned to think that's normal, but it really isn't. Even when you look across the rest of the island, it's not normal. And if you go anywhere else. So I mentioned previously the border rail in Scotland. It connects up from Edinburgh down through the really quite rural part of southern Scotland along the border with the north of England. It was a successful campaign to reopen a line which shut in the 60s. The line that they had reopened there, the largest town in that route, Galashiels, is smaller than Letterkenny. Yet they managed to get rail reopened and it's had a huge impact since. And they're now looking at continuing that reopened railway line on over to the city of Carlisle in the northwest of England, and Carlisle is pretty much the same size as Derry. As you mentioned, Limerick as well. Limerick is being connected up to Foynesport on the Shannon, and the city is also having three new rail stations built as part of a new commuter network. So it's really important that people in Donegal believe that we can get rail back, because there's absolutely no reason why we can't. And if we don't believe and we don't start arguing for this stuff, all we're going to do is make it less likely that it will come back. But if you look at the rest of the islands, comparable counties to Donegal, as I mentioned, whether it be a Kerry or a Mayo or a Galway, you know, they're getting good roads and good rail. At the moment, we've none of the latter and very little of the former in Donegal. So we absolutely need to get those back. Other places have shown it's possible. There is no reason why Donegal can't also get it back. And we will. I'm absolutely convinced we'll get rail back to at least Letterkenny. And then after a while, people will just sort of think, why didn't we have it like this before?
And I'm old enough to remember the controversy over Knock Airport, or Ireland West Airport, as it's now known, Monsignor Horan. And people said that they can never build an international airport in Mayo. You know, it's a great example of the doubters being proved wrong. It was a huge infrastructural project, but it's been a great success. And look at the spin-off. And just touching on that, you know, sometimes it's not just pure black and white figures, and it's hard to actually measure the spin-off things. You touch on there, I mean, tourism. Killarney gets a lot of people coming by train to Killarney, and then they go around the county. It gets a lot of conferences. The hotels benefit. If you have that connection to Letterkenny, you're certainly going to bring a lot more people into the county as well.
Yeah, we always talk about rail as being much more than just getting from A to B. So we talk about, you know, the seven benefits of rail, and they cover a very broad spectrum of stuff like tourism, like population balance, like social justice, because, you know, a large number of people in Donegal won't have access to a vehicle. Yet, you know, how do they get around? How do they get to work? How do they get the kids to school? How do they access family when they're in hospital? That sort of thing. Not everybody has a car, or not everybody wants to use a car. But in Donegal, you really feel like you've got no choice. And, you know, economic development is, again, companies and people are much more likely to base themselves where infrastructure is good in preference to where it's poor. I mean, it's such an obvious point that it almost doesn't need to be said. But when it is said, you think, well, yeah, absolutely. And that's probably part of the reason why places like Donegal and the border counties have a much lower population than they otherwise would. So rail is, I'd be very keen for your listeners to think about rail as being much more than just getting from A to B. It's about economic development, it's about tourism, it's about climate change, it's about social justice, it's about so much more. And as you mentioned, NOC really shows what you can do. You know, NOC was the proverbial airport built in a foggy bog, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And it has gone from strength to strength since. It has proved all the doubters wrong. It is a very large number of people from Donegal who use it. I think it's about 70,000 people a year from Donegal fly, you know, through NOC airports. It's very popular. And that ties into this whole idea of believing, because there will be lots of other people who will try to clip Donegal's wings. There will be lots of people in the civil service especially, but probably also politicians based down in Dublin who will try and say to Donegal, ah, no, you can't have that. Or they'll say, well, listen, you can have maybe some good roads, but you can't have good roads and good rail, so you must choose. And we would always say, look, do not clip your own wings. You know, it's what is unreasonable is the fact that Donegal is left with such appalling infrastructure. Challenging that fact is not unreasonable. It's the absence of those things which is unreasonable. So Donegal should not be afraid to ask for these things. And let somebody else dare to tell Donegal no and then tackle that. But don't clip your own wings as a county. God knows there'll be enough other people who will try and do that for you. But do not be shy. Donegal people usually aren't. You know, make the ask. We need good infrastructure in the northwest. We need rail to come back to the county, certainly to Letterkenny. And then we can look at where else we can bring it on to from there. Because the county and the region will not fulfill its potential without the good infrastructure that population needs and that businesses need. Tourism, economic growth, and all those other reasons. So please do believe that we can bring rail back to Donegal, because it absolutely will happen. It's just a case of when.
I'm speaking with Steve Bradley, the chair of Into the West, the rail lobby group for the western half of the province of Ulster. And Steve, I just want to make it very clear to our listeners, there is huge investment definitely on its way in the rail sector. We've spoken about the All-Ireland Review, and there are figures suggesting that something in the region of 35, 37 billion could be spent over the next 20, 30 years. There are proposals to build new railway lines, and there's going to be a prioritisation. So what about the political will and the lobbying from industry and tourism sectors in Donegal? If we don't shout enough up here, is there a danger that some of these projects will get built elsewhere? And following on from that, that gap in the northwest, well, it could become even more obvious if there are more projects built in the rest of the island and not enough of them are built up here in the northwest.
Yeah, this is really key, Chris. The sequencing after the All-Ireland Rail Review is published. So the All-Ireland Rail Review, we know roughly what's in there. We know it's going to have certainly some positive news for the northwest in terms of restoring that rail link between Derry and Dublin and between Derry and Letterkenny, so therefore creating the routes from Donegal down to Dublin. That's all good. But as soon as that document is finalised and formally published, it effectively will fire a starting pistol. And every other part of the island will also have projects in there which they want to see happen. And they will have, you know, their own strong reasons for pushing that and their own arguments for why it should happen. And it will become a competitive process. As you mentioned, it's quite a large sum of money, but it's over 25 to 30 years. So if you break that down per year, you know, what we're looking for is a year-on-year rolling investment program of rail right across the islands, paid for by North and South, possibly also with EU contributions as well. And it's really important that Donegal get it's ask in, and no other region has the strength of argument the Northwest has, because we just have complete absence of real. Everywhere else is talking about making the real better. We're talking about bringing it back, because it's unacceptable that the county of Donegal and the areas around it do not have real. So that's a stronger argument than everyone else has. But we need a united voice. It can't just be left to real enthusiasts like ourselves. It can't just be left to, you know, some politicians in the county. It has to be everybody, councillors, TDs, MEPs, chambers of commerce, community groups, you know, sporting groups. You know, the people involved in the GAA in Donegal should be banging the table and demanding a train, so that, you know, when Donegal gets to a semi-final in the All-Ireland, for example, people can get on a train in Letterkenny, get on a train at Lifford, and get down to those games. You know, that's not an unreasonable demand, because it's what every other county in the rest of the island pretty much can do when they play at Croke Park, for example. So we need the entire civic and political life of Donegal to get their shoulders to the wheel and to push on this, because you can be sure, whether it be Waterford, whether it be Cork or wherever else, there will be lots of other parts of the island making their ask as well. And we just need to make sure we're pushed up the priority list. And again, as I said, we have an ask which is stronger than anybody else, because we're not asking to make what we have better, because we don't have it at all in the first place. So we need to reduce the gap in the map, play fair by the Northwest. That's why we should be certainly at the highest levels, if not the top priority, in terms of real reopenings after this plan is published.
And just to point out also, Steve, that, you know, the stats prove that if you do invest, the passengers do come. We might just get on to freight in a moment. But if we take the case of Derry, now it's been a long journey to get investment in upgrading the line and the services from Derry to Belfast via Coleraine. But we have seen in the last decade the number of people using the train from Derry has increased dramatically. And the reason why is the service has improved. It's got slightly quicker. They've got newer trains. And if you provide a good product, it will be used.
Yeah, Derry, it's 20 years ago this year that the civil servants, because Stormont was down at the time, as it has been on a number of occasions, but the civil servants proposed shutting the Derry's railway line, because the track was what was called life expired. It needed replacement. And they thought, well, let's save the money and shut the whole thing down. That's when Into the West, the organization that I chair, was first set up, and it managed to save the railway line. It managed to then get investment in the railway line, and it managed to get a new station in Derry. And there's been pretty modest improvements, if we're honest with you. What we have in Derry now is we have a railway station which is fit for purpose. The previous one we had was appalling. You know, it had no toilet inside. It was tiny. It really wasn't fit for purpose. And we now have a train every hour to Belfast 6 days a week, not on a Sunday, but 6 days a week. Prior to 2017, there was only a train every 2 hours. So if you missed a service, you were hanging around kicking your heels for an hour and 55 minutes waiting for the next one. So few people were going to do that. And what we've seen is, since these modest improvements, so a decent station and a service once an hour, which is hardly earth-shattering, we've seen basically passenger numbers have trebled in the last 6 or 7 years. Derry has gone from being the 17th busiest train station in Northern Ireland around about 2017, 2018, to now being the 7th busiest. It's now almost 1 million passengers a year, and I have no doubt that it will continue to expand and will push into being a top 5 station in Northern Ireland, which is where a city of its size really should be. And it's important to note that it's done all that despite having a clearly worse service than the stations east of Coleraine have. So, for example, they have trains every hour on a Sunday. We only have a train every 2 hours. They have four trains from Coleraine, which will get you into Belfast before 9 o'clock in the morning for work or for study. There's only one train from Derry that will do that. The last train out of Belfast of an evening is at 9:10 Monday to Saturday and 7:10 on a Sunday. So that's no good if you're going to the theatre, if you're going to watch Ulster rugby, if you're doing, you know, anything like that at all. Whereas if you're going to Coleraine, which is only 30 miles from Derry, there's a train which will get you there. There's two trains will get you there up until 20 to 11 at night. So as soon as we get those timetable things sorted out as well, I have absolutely no doubt there'll be well over 1 million people using rail from Derry, and it will be a top 5 station. And it really is the cliche of, you know, build it and they will come. People want to use rail. We've seen that all over the island anytime it's improved. We've seen it over in Britain and all across Europe. There is latent demand for rail. People like it as a form of travel. It really does work. And I have absolutely no doubt that when we get rail back to Donegal, it will prove hugely popular. And people will all start to say to themselves, sure, why did we ever let it go in the first place?
And I just want to ask you a couple of things before we finish up. People will say Donegal needs to be connected with Sligo. Sligo has a rail line. If you get to Sligo, well, you can't get from Sligo to Galway yet. That's some way down the track. But there is talk of opening this western corridor, and Limerick to Athenry has already opened. The next stage will be up to Tuam and on to Claremorris, and then maybe further on in years to come onto Colooney and into Sligo. But important to point out, there was never a train service that linked Letterkenny to Sligo. There was never there was a railway to Bundoran, but that came from Enniskillen. So there would be a huge amount of investment required from a certainly a civil engineering point of view, a lot of bridges and the towns, you know, maybe the population there. It's a little bit like the old hospital argument. You can't have a big hospital everywhere. There has to be some streamlining and has to go to bigger towns to a certain extent. So would your feeling be, you know, as you've touched on there, the number one priority, it's to get Letterkenny linked into Derry first. And after that, who knows what might happen?
Yeah, I think the argument for Letterkenny being connected by rail is cast iron. It has the population already. Under the National Development Plan, it's proposed that Letterkenny will have 30,000 population, probably more than that by 2040. Absolutely warrants rail. We have the Northwest City region. We have Derry of 105,000 people. Connecting Letterkenny and Derry is the proverbial no-brainer. It will definitely happen. It's just a case of when. The challenge then is taking rail further south in Donegal, which we are very supportive of having the Western Rail Corridor running all the way from Cork through the entire Connacht up to Sligo and then on through Donegal, through Letterkenny and onto Derry. But thinking realistically, we're probably some way off that Donegal leg happening currently. I could see a time when you could connect Letterkenny and Ballybofaston earlier by rail, because I think Ballybofaston earlier has a population of about 6,000. Once it gets to about 10,000, the feeling in the All Ireland Rail Review is you need a population of about 10,000 people to kind of justify rail. And, you know, Letterkenny to Ballybofaston earlier is not a huge distance, and you could see that town growing to 10,000 people, you know, in the coming two decades or so. So I could see that happening. But then when you go south for that, you've got the Barnsmore Gap, and then you have Donegal Town, Bundoran, Ballyshannon, which between them only have populations of between 1,500 and 2,500 people currently. They will probably grow, but they're still some way off 10,000 people. But I think let's get rail into Letterkenny. Let's get some rail back into the county. Then once that's in, it's then the case of, okay, where next? I would be hopeful we can make a good argument to bring it down to Ballybofey, and then we can try and eat the elephant in small chunks. But yeah, I think that leg, certainly south of Ballybofey and north of Sligo, is a long distance, challenging terrain, small populations. Perhaps a more viable route might be to go through Enniskillen, Sligo to Enniskillen, because Enniskillen's a large town, and then connect up from there to Oma and the routes between Letterkenny and Portadown. But as mentioned, we would be 100% supportive of restoring that necklace of rail down the west coast all the way through Donegal. I think the priority just has to be now to get rail into Letterkenny, and then we can look at the where next for Donegal after that.
And just briefly, just to give a mention to freight, most of our conversations have been, we're thinking about passenger traffic on railways. Freight on Irish railways is minimal, but there are some exceptions. There's trains from Ballina to Waterford. And long term, you know, if you've a bigger network there, no doubt there will be opportunities. And for a county like Donegal, who knows, it could be timber. In the UK, the likes of Tesco move a lot of goods by rail. So obviously there's going to be potential there as well.
Yeah, so freight is very much the Cinderella service of rails in Ireland. Companies pay per kilometre to access the rail network. And Ireland has the most expensive track access charges of anywhere in Europe. So surprise, surprise, that's pushed freight onto the roads. And all that does is it just creates congestion, pollution, clogs up Dublin Port and places like that. You know, for every freight train, a freight train will carry roughly what 30 HGV lorries would take. You can have longer freight trains, but roughly they would carry about 30 of what a HGV can take. So you really do reduce a lot of traffic by pushing stuff onto freight. Donegal, as we know, has a large forestry sector, and that's classic for moving by freight. It's large, bulky goods, you know, commodities, which rather than piling them high onto you know, lots and lots of lorries that could easily be taken by freight down to either Foyne's port, which, as I mentioned previously, is being connected by rail, potentially up to the port in Derry. Foyle port has a lot of timber products coming in and out for Donegal and for Sligo, and it has the railway line and runs right past Derry port. So you can really see how the North West could have a freight network. Fermanagh, for example, has one of the largest bottle makers in Europe. It has very large timber products and other products as well, which again would be perfect for putting onto rail. So the All Ireland Rail Review does talk about this. It says that all core cities, so the seven core cities on the island, of which Derry is one, should have freight distribution terminals. But it was pretty weak in terms of actually its recommendations on that. So we need to make sure that, as well as getting passenger rail back to Donegal, that we also ensure that the freight option is kept open, because that's a bit which will be really hugely helpful for someone like Donegal, because it will help attract certain businesses in which need a lot of space, and Donegal has the space, and will need to move bulky, heavy goods, and it's so much easier to do that by rail than it is by road.
And that was Steve Bradley, chair of the Into the West Rail Lobby Group, which is campaigning for better rail in the western half of the province of Ulster. The Donegal Women in Business Network is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, and to mark the occasion, it's hosting a major event in September. To tell me more about it, I've been speaking with Larissa Feeney, president of the Donegal Women in Business Network, and later in this piece she also updates me on how the rebranding has gone with her own award-winning Knorr online accounting and business services company.
Yes, hi Chris, and thank you for having me on. Yes, indeed, the 25th anniversary event of Donegal Women in Business Network is happening on the 19th of September at 1:30 in Loch Eff Castle. It will be a fantastic day for all women in business, or women who are hoping to start a business or perhaps working in a business for somebody else. Everybody is welcome. If you're a member of the network or not, we'd be delighted to see you there.
And tell us a little bit about the lineup, because you have some big names coming, and no doubt there's going to be some quite motivational and inspirational speakers.
Yes, definitely. So the theme of the day, first of all, is leading the way. And that's really because Donegal Women in Business have led the way over 25 years, coming from that very first committee all those years ago, and the support that they would have given together with Local Enterprise Office, who has been a partner of the network right throughout the 25 years. The theme of the event is Leading the Way, and we're really following that theme through the day. We have Leading the Way with Passion, Leading the Way with Education, Leading the Way with Customers. And we have the wonderful Donegal lady, Andrew Gilligan. Andrew will be our MC for the day. And we have speakers like Miranda Rosenberg and Claire Walsh. And our keynote speaker is the fabulous Sonia Lennon, who is coming back to Donegal to spend some time with us. And we're really, really excited to hear from all of them. And as well as that, we have women in business on stage talking about their own experiences and their businesses and how they have led their way in their individual businesses and sectors. We have seen huge progress, not only in the network in Donegal, but for women in business in general, Chris, over the last 25 years. There's now a massive amount of support in the form of networking, support groups, programs, accelerators to support women in business. However, we still have a long way to go. We still have to push boundaries, we still have to open doors, and we still have to help motivate and empower women, not only that are in business, but that are potentially hoping to start a business, or where a lot of women have a lot of difficulty is around scaling their business. So we're okay to start it, And we're okay to, you know, to even make a living for ourselves and perhaps one or two others. But the difficulty is scaling that business. So the network and this event will hopefully help inspire and help give confidence to those women to start and to scale.
And I suppose it's appropriate to be speaking to you at this moment in time because there's an early bird offer for the tickets. And I think the deadline is the 1st of August.
Yes, exactly. So the tickets for the event is €55. Now, if there are any larger businesses listening, it is possible to buy a table as well. But for individuals, it is €55. And there's an early bird on offer for €45. And that's until the 1st of August. You can go onto the Facebook page and go onto the site, DonegalWomenInBusiness.com. You can reach out to us across any of the social channels and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions about the day itself and everything that's included on the day and everything that's included in that ticket price, but also about the network and about how the network can help you to start or to grow your business.
That date again, it's the 19th of September and all gets underway at about 1:30 at Loch Esk Castle, just outside Donegal Town, a really beautiful venue. Now, just while we have you on, Larissa, your own firm was rebranded earlier this year as Kinnor, and as Chief Executive Officer, you've been well pleased by this transitionary period, and you continue to go from strength to strength. I see you've won a number of awards since I spoke to you last, so everything is certainly trending in a positive direction.
Yeah, that was big. It was a big move for us in Accountant Online to transition to Kinnor and even to make the decision to rebrand, Chris, and what that would look like. And of course, why we were doing it and the reasons, what we were hoping to achieve by it. And really, the reason why we rebranded was because the company had grown and our clients had grown. And we were so much more than accountants to our clients. We were very much partners as they grew their business and we slotted into wherever they are on their journey. And that was very much part of the reasons why we rebranded. But it has been a transition. There was a lot of work, as you can imagine, that went into it. And we were nervous about it because, you know, it's very difficult to figure out and to understand what the impact is going to be. But no, it's all been very positive. We've received a huge amount of support from our clients, from our stakeholders, from prospects and from others in the market. And we're very grateful for that. And we're really, really excited to see the next stage now of the evolution of the company and where this new brand is going to take us. When I started Accountant Online, it very much was ahead of its time. You know, 10 years ago, 2014, it wasn't usual for professional services to be delivered online. What happened over the last 10 years was that the pandemic was the obvious one. There was a huge amount of acceleration in terms of digitalization over that time, and it became much more acceptable to deliver professional services online. And what we realized was that it wasn't just this particular target market that we appealed to. Prior to the pandemic, we thought that we really could only deliver to clients or businesses that were comfortable dealing online and perhaps had online systems. And of course, that has all changed now because everybody's comfortable dealing online and everybody has online systems. In fact, it's completely flipped. It would be very unusual for us to come across a company that did not have an online system or did not want to transition quite quickly to an online process. So we've just really capitalized on that, I suppose, and expanded our services, not only offering accounting services, but also offering cloud service, digital services, automation services and company secretarial services as well. So it meant that we can serve clients at no matter what stage of the business journey they're at. And that has meant that the rebrand and the move away from Accountant Online was very much appropriate for where we're at in our own stage of development.
And that was Larissa Feeney, President of the Donegal Women in Business Network. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio. As always, thanks for listening. If you want to contact me, the email address is businessmatters@highlandradio.com. And until the next time, goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.